Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning. Everyone's talking NCAA tournament. The Field of 68 announced yesterday, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Duke, your number one overall seed. Let's talk a little college hoops. Let's welcome aboard right now Tom Pokora, Quinnipiac associate head coach, joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Coach, what's up?
What's happening, fellas? How we doing, all right?
We're doing all right. How about yourself, all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Just sitting here listening to all the experts on how this bracket's going to play out. And the great thing is it's a living organism. Every year it's different. And there's different issues every year because the committee's different. And there's always right. teams that are heartbroken. I've been there. And then there's teams that are thrilled because they sneak in. So it's an exciting time, man.
Coach, do you think the committee got it right this year?
Well, I think it was an interesting year because it was such a soft bubble. You know, I don't think the committee ever gets it right in half the people's minds. And the other half, they think they've done a wonderful job. It's obviously a very hard job. I think, you know, going back to my roots, being the head coach at Hofstra and then the head coach at Fordham in mid-major, so to speak, leagues, it's really hard to look at a team that has, two wins over 500 from a major conference, what would be considered a mediocre type season, get in, and then you see teams that are having tremendous years, like a North Carolina Greensboro with 28 wins, and you can't get in the tournament. You know, the tournament, more so each year, is built for the big boys. You know, as we looked at this year, everyone's looking at that net and how's that going to affect things, and it's all driven by quadrant one wins. And when you're at a mid-major conference, you don't have the opportunity to get those wins in the course of the season. So your regular conference season. And in non-conference, if you're a good mid-major team, none of those big guys are going to play it, especially at home. So it's going to become more and more of a challenge, I think, for mid-major teams to slide into this tournament.
When you look at it, Coach, and the number one overall seed, Duke, and they're 9-4 favorite right now to win the whole tournament, cut down the nets out in Minneapolis. What you've seen here from Zion and crew, you know, should they be that heavy of a favorite?
Well, once again, those are the guys in Vegas, and you never doubt them. They always seem to be on the number, you know what I mean?
Right, true. But when you look at this team, you know, I mean, they don't shoot the ball particularly well from three. They go through some cold stretches. We know Williamson makes up for a lot for them and for Coach K. But, you know, do you view this tournament, Coach, as Duke and everybody else?
No, I don't. And I think that one thing that you mentioned, I think, with the three-point line allows teams to stay in games if they're a little less talented. And if they come up against a team that plays a great zone defense, and forces them to beat them over the top, and then limits their second shot opportunities. That's a key for Duke because Zion is so good at just putting it on the rim and then going and getting it himself. You know, he'll miss his own back-to-the-basket move and then just go get it and finish with a tip-in or offensive rebound and get a three-point play out of it. If you can make it a one-shot game for Duke and you force them to beat you from the perimeter, you can beat them.
Coach, I mean, speaking on Zion Williamson for a second, I mean, just, you know, we were talking earlier, Moose and I, you know, and it's like the kid is hyped to no end, but it's almost like with good reason. He is just, it's amazing, like his size, his speed, the way he D's guys up, the way he can, you know, shoot the ball, just his athleticism, his energy, the exuberance he brings to the team. In your years coaching, I mean, can you think of somebody off the top of your head that this guy's similar to? Or do you feel like a lot of folks, the same narrative, that he's just, I hate to exaggerate, maybe, you know, a freak of nature?
Well, yeah, he's a different breed of cattle, that's for sure. At 285 pounds, at that size, to be able to move like that. I've been talking to some of our coaches here. We're on the road to play a game, and we were talking last night. And I said, my concern with him is, you know, you see these young guys get drafted, and you look at them in the draft, and then you look at their physical size 5 years later as they grow into men and they're in their mid to late 20s, 30. I mean, when he's 30 years old playing in the NBA, is he going to be 320 pounds?
Right.
I mean,
right,
if he just continues to grow big and bigger and stronger, and if you're that size, can you take that, your body take that wear and tear of an 82-game plus playoff schedule? So I think the knee scared some people a little bit, I think, this year. His ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter has got to get better. He's not going to be able to just plow through bodies in the NBA because, obviously, bigger, faster, stronger on that level. But, look, as far as trying to compare him to someone, it's very difficult.
Right, right.
You know, people have said Charles Barkley, and Charles was undersized and powerful and just was, his skill set was off the charts. So, you know, basically 6'5 power forward that was able to play in the league and be one of the all-time great players in the league. But it's going to be interesting. I think the other thing, too, is going to be where he gets drafted and who he's surrounded by on the next level. You know, does he go to a team where he's dependent on, they're dependent on him to make every play and do everything? Or is he on a team that, that's able to bring in some talented veterans around him to help him guide the way?
You know, Coach, people are going to look at Virginia, and Tony Bennett's done a remarkable job with that program. And we know they lost last year as a one. They're a one again. Had great regular season. I know Boeheim said this is probably the best overall offensive team that Bennett's ever had at Virginia. You know, you look at that region, you have to, you know, if they're ever going to get to there and get to that Final Four, you know, you would think it would be this year's Virginia team. What about the Cavs this season?
Yeah, well, that's our local guy, Ty Jerome, out of Westchester.
Yeah.
I prepped one of the great guards and the other backcourt player guy. The thing with Virginia is pace of play. You know, they play at a snail's pace offensively at times. If there's a break opportunity, they'll take it. But they're in close games. So what happens with a team like Virginia is if you're down 8, you're down 16. You know, so getting back in a game, if they jump on you early and you've got to fight back into a game against Virginia, they're so efficient. Their ability to shoot the basketball and then burn clock on a regular basis, each offensive possession, just shortens the game. And number of possessions against Virginia are drastically down as compared against other teams. So that's a negative for you if you're down. However, if they're chasing you and you force them because you jump out and get a lead on them, you're able to spurt and get a lead on them, and they have to chase you through the course of the game, and you force them to play at a quicker pace, they become a little bit better, a little bit more of a challenged team, I should say. But, heck, Tony Bennett's as good as it gets. I mean, he's won, he won at Eastern Washington, man. So the dude can just flat out coach and his personnel and his length and the way they pack line and defend you. It's a great formula.
Coach, what about if you go to Midwest in that deal there? Auburn, man. I mean, I watched Auburn play yesterday. They just don't look unbelievable. I mean, and they have, unlike a Duke team, they have the ability to really hit threes left and right. Break down the War Eagle for me, please, because I'm all in with them right now.
You are. That's your crew, huh?
Well just about. Yeah, yeah. They look great to me. They really do.
They do, and you know, one of the two things that you look at with some of these teams is they go on great runs in their tournament, and are they able to keep that momentum, you know, or are they exhausted from what they were able to accomplish in that tournament?
Yeah,
I think you look at Bruce Pearl; he's an incredible motivator. You know, Bruce is got them fired up. He's punching through the air. He's got them, you know, ready to draw meat going into that game. Now, can he elevate them to that level this week as they go into the tournament? And some teams are going to make adjustments on it. One of the things that happens as the year progresses, going into your tournament, and then even more so in the NCAA tournament, when you have some of these coaches, that have a week to prepare, they're really good at taking away what you do well. You know, I had the opportunity. I was an assistant coach at Rolly Massimino, and when Coach Mass had a week to prepare for somebody, he never lost because he could just figure out what you wanted to do, how you wanted to do it, and he would take away those one or two things. And now it becomes players having to make plays instead of running plays. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams prepare for Auburn.
We're talking to Coach Tom Pecora, Associate Head Coach at Quinnipiac, joining Taz and Moose, breaking down the field of 68 here on this Monday morning. You know, Coach, Taz and I were talking about earlier on the program, I thought the Spartans got a little bit of the short end of the stick, right? Because they're in the same region as Duke. I think they're the best two seed on that line. And the best two seed, then you stick with the best overall seed in the East. And I get they're going to look at the, you know, the where they're playing in the regionals. I get that. But if I'm Tom Izzo, I'm not exactly ecstatic. I just come off winning the Big Ten tournament, beat Michigan for a third time. They're a two seed in an easier region with Gonzaga. I'm in a two seed. I got Duke.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that, and that's happened in years past. I believe that part of it that comes into play is the region they want to send them to. They don't want to hammer them with travel. They want to make sure they're in a region where there's going to be great interest as far as fan base is concerned. But look, Tom Izzo is as good as they get, and you know, Sparty fears no one. So I think their mindset going in there is, yeah, we could be in another region, but when we get to this level and we're competing against these type teams, you know, when you're looking at these 1 and 2 seeds, I mean, those are heavyweight battles. Doesn't matter where the game's going to be played. Both teams are going to be playing at a high level. I thought yesterday they just did a great job in the second half of that game after the injury to that young guy, you know, and their ability to come back and play that way. And he's going to be out for the entire tournament, you know. So,
yeah,
so
ankle, that's going to high ankle, I think, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. That was scary what happened to him. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure was. He's a lucky young man. Thank God. I thought that was.
And you could see Izzo, hey, coach, you could see Izzo got emotional when he walked away from the kid while the medical staff was tending to him, you know?
Yeah, listen, Tom Izzo, I had the opportunity to do some Nike clinics with him over the years, and he's as good as he gets, as there is out there. Not only as a coach, but a guy who just, he brings those rough, tough kids in there, and he loves them up, and then they think they'll run through a wall for him. And that's what good coaching is all about.
You know, Coach, you mentioned this tournament's for the big boys, but, you know, we have had some great Cinderella runs here. If you look at across the entire bracket, is there a team or two, a mid-major, smaller conference school that you think, you know, with the right draw here, has got an opportunity, right team, got an opportunity to maybe create a little bit of magic here in March?
No doubt. I mean, I love Yale. You know, they're going to go against LSU. James Jones up at Yale. It's just... He's, you know, been there before. They beat Baylor two or three years ago, and I had an opportunity to watch them and go up and see them practice a few times back then when I was doing some TV work. And he's got this team prepared. He's going to go in against an LSU team that's in a little bit of turmoil here, obviously playing without their head coach, Will Wade. And I think that there's a game you can really look at and say, this could be an opportunity for a team to win. You know, when you look at conference tournament games, too, you look at a team like Belmont, Rick Byrd at Belmont. You go around to all of the major colleges in the country and talk to coaches about some low-level guys that can really coach them up, and Rick Byrd's one of them at Belmont. So I think that those are two games that are really interesting. Hey, locally, Fairleigh Dickinson's got to go win tomorrow or Wednesday and go win the first game in school history in the NCAA tournament. I think that's something people don't look at when you're playing those play-in games, you know. It's almost the out-bracket game. Are you really in the tournament? Well, you know, what if you go in there and you win a tournament game for your university? It's huge. So I think that's a great game to watch and enjoy. But it's just a magical time of the year, guys. You know the deal.
It's great.
Everyone looks at – what's that?
No, yeah, no, you're right. It's awesome. We're agreeing, but continue.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, it is. I mean, people who have no interest in college basketball, you know, are filling out brackets today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the great thing is I remember I was teaching school 25 years ago, and we had a pool, and – some woman came in and just, you know, whatever color she liked, or she was going by nicknames, and she ended up winning like $1,000 in a pool. You know? And,
that's funny.
And everyone's coming to me for advice, and I'm going, oh, I like this, I like this. I probably came second to last. So it shakes things up. And like you said, the having those Cinderella teams makes this interesting.
Yeah.
However, it just becomes, each year it becomes more and more of a challenge for certain teams to get themselves into the tournament. I think the big thing, too, this year is there's a couple teams got into the tournament after playing very weak non-conference schedules. And years ago, like last year, that really bit Nebraska and didn't allow them to get in. I know NC State this year wasn't able to get in, and their net was a lot higher than a number of teams that did get in. So no one knew how that net factor was going to affect this year's tournament. What people don't realize, this committee changes, you know, almost annually. You have different chairs. They have a different charge each year because the numbers change and they're always trying to get things perfect. So with that said, when you're doing your scheduling as a college coach and you're trying to get games in your non-conference for the following year, hey, this team looks like they're going to be a good team, and now we live in a world where three kids can transfer tomorrow, and all of a sudden the game that you thought was going to help you get an at-large bid is a game that you can go win and it doesn't help you at all. You know, things like that all come into play, and those decisions are made this spring for next spring. And sometimes they don't all shake out that way when it comes to your non-conference games.
Coach, realistically speaking, I mean, how many schools, how many programs can actually win this tournament between Duke, you know, Tennessee, Virginia, Gonzaga, North Carolina? Like, how many, in your opinion, can actually win this thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's a year where there's two or three teams that are just flat out totally dominant. You know, style of play comes into play so much. I think when you look at teams that that win NCAA championships, they don't beat themselves. Obviously, you know, two of the last 2 years, Villanova being able to do it, you know, they don't beat themselves, a team like that. But this year, I think there's probably 8 to 10 teams that could go on a run. And if, once you get that momentum going and then you put yourself in a Final Four and Elite Eight spot, matchups become big. And then having the ability, once again, we talk so much about, you know, this three-point line. It is drastically, it's just incredible how much it's changed the game on this level, because you're never out of a game. And your lead is never safe because of it. You know who it kills? It kills those guys at the end of the bench, which I can totally relate to. You know, guys that are like 10, 11, and 12, man. You can't get in the game anymore because it's a 15-point game with 2 minutes to go. Coach can't play you. Back in the day, you were getting in and, you know, waving to the family, but not anymore. You know, you're five possessions away from it being a tie game.
You know, Coach, if we ask you right now, Duke or anybody else wins this tournament, would you take anybody else?
You know, I would. I mean, I you know, right now I just kind of went through it. I'll tell you a team that I think is really scary is Florida State when people play Leonard Hamilton's teams. If I have them going to the Final Four out of the West, I mean, if you don't score in transition against Florida State, you don't score, because their half-court defense is so good. He gets long, athletic kids, and he's on them from day one, about being in gaps and five against the ball, and you cannot score. It's a challenge to score against them in half court. And right now their offense is playing at a high level. So I think they're a team that could come through this thing and surprise some people. Obviously Carolina, when they get their mojo going and they get out and get stops and can go out and run, they're as good as anyone. Tennessee. And then I had, like, as you mentioned, Duke and Michigan State. I think that's a battle to get into that East, get to the Final Four out of the East. But, yeah, I'm going to take the field. I wouldn't be shocked, you know, as my buddy Timmy Capshaw used to say years ago, we'd be recruiting and we'd be at these big AAU events and Mike Krzyzewski would walk by and he'd go, "Hey, I heard that guy does a nice job." And you know what? Every time he went by, he'd say it, and every time we'd laugh. So anything Coach K does would not surprise anybody in this business, that's for sure.
You know, I'll close it out here, Coach. So you have Duke, Michigan State, the regional final. You've got Florida State, Tennessee, and Carolina, your other three teams going to the Final Four, right?
Yeah, what do I know? But that's who I got on my pad this morning, and then we'll see how things break out. You know, like I said, it's always an interesting, you know, Thursday and Friday. I think those first two games of the tournament really just bring everybody into it. And it is. It's the best sport in the world because young men are playing it. They're not pros. There's going to be great plays made by guys you never heard of. There's going to be bad plays made by young men that they'll never hear the end of from their buddies 20 years down the road when they're having a beer. It's just an exciting time. And the unpredictability of it, I think, is what makes it so exciting for people. We all sit here and chart it out and then, you know, and then it plays its way through whatever the destiny may be.
Coach, we'll close it out. What about for Quinnipiac this year? You know, season, how'd it go? How'd it go in the regular season in the MAC and certainly where this program's going in the future?
Yeah, we're in good shape. I'm working here with Baker Dunleavy, who obviously was down at Villanova, and we're in year two. We were able to turn it around in 2 years, have a winning season. We kind of kicked the can. The last regular season game of the year, had we won, we would have got a piece of the MAC championship. But we weren't able to get that one, so we're playing in the CIT tournament tonight. And we got a bunch of good young players that are going to just keep getting better and better. And it's an incredible place, Quinnipiac. I don't know if you've ever been up there,
yep.
But I mean, the facilities, the campus, the growth of the university has just been off the charts. So we're just scratching the surface. I think things are going to get better each year. And I'm having a ball. You know, I was a head coach for a long time, and now I sit in that second seat and I just make suggestions instead of making decisions. It's a lot easier.
That's it.
good for you, buddy.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck in the game tonight in the CIT tournament, and good to hear from you. And we'll chat again soon, all right?
All right, guys. A pleasure. Have a great day, man.
Thanks,
you
Coach.
You got it. That's Coach Tom Pecora, associate head coach at Quinnipiac, year two there
under Baker Dunleavy. So,
good guy. He likes Florida State, but they got to get to that West with Gonzaga, though.
He does, but good likes Florida State. He likes Tennessee. He likes Carolina. He said Duke, Michigan State, the battle. The regional final.
I don't know about that. There you go.
All right.
Cabbage has hit me, bro.
No one's written it in stone. Don't say that.
Oh, it's hitting me.
We got the three
which
coming
means
your
it's
way
hitting
next.
You.
I didn't have cabbage yesterday. Yeah. Remember, we were in Italian.
I think you're missing my point.
I understand. I got the point. Thank you. I got it. Get some Lysol, will you? The Yale head coach will join us a little later on the program as well. It's Taz and Moose on a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
From 68 to 64 to 32, it all happens this week. And the place to talk about the best in college hoops is right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 is your number to call. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to be joined by the Yale head coach a little later on the program. Correct,
yes, Taz? Looking forward to that for sure. James Jones will join us a little later on, and probably in about 20 minutes or so in that vicinity or that world or that area. But right now, it's time for our latest sports update. Yeah. 3-2-1.
No, they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Thinking just too wide and nerdy.
I feel like every time the music starts, you're almost hoping that we like move on from this. I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, there's like a my left big toe thinks that.
What is that?
But I know Pete's not clever enough to pick a new song. Well, the question, more than one.
Well, no, this is kind of your theme song. I mean, right. You're putting on Pete the Body. I mean, he's.
It's more my style.
I have no idea what's happening now. I don't know why we're playing this, but it's kind of a cool song. Oh, it's the same song. Sorry.
That's the interlude.
He's got the long remix version.
Yes.
The intro.
There's a full orchestra behind Weird Al for this one.
Probably gone 10 seconds too long as it is.
Nope.
Okay. Anyways. But it's great to have you part of the show again.
I feel like that's not true.
No, it is. It's great. Come on, let's get moving. We got stuff to do.
See?
Here's a report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Pick from a range of coverage options with the Name Your Price tool to find a price that works for you. For the second time in March Madness history, a conference has three number one seeds, Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina from the ACC. Selection Committee Chairperson Bernard Muir told CBS yesterday they had no hesitation doing this.
They earned their right to be there, and certainly with Duke and Zion back, phenomenal run here in the ACC tournament, and we thought both Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina were deserving on that one line.
Gonzaga is the lone non-ACC number one. Now, good news for them, the last time this happened, the Big East in 2009, North Carolina was the other number one and won the title. The tournament begins tomorrow. Fairleigh Dickinson takes on Prairie View A&M. Then it's Belmont and Temple in the first half of the first four. Dayton, St. John's, Arizona State, NC Central, and somebody else who I didn't write down, and the name escapes me, plays on Wednesday.
The Bison.
I was vamping to try and get through something. In the NBA last night, Lou Williams beat the buzzer with a three to beat the Nets. 119-116 at Staples. The Rockets outscored the T-Wolves 117-102, and the Magic took care of the Hawks 101-91 to remain a game behind Miami for eighth in the East. The Miami Dolphins reportedly signing veteran QB Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Saints add veteran center Nick Easton because veteran center Max Unger is retiring surprisingly. Moose, I apologize for making you wait so long to hear this.
For the win. Kick is up, and it is good. The Iron.
If you went to bed early, that's how it sounded on NFL Network. The Birmingham Iron.
My former team.
Ending their two-game drought with a 32-29 W in San Diego. Nick Novak, the 44-yard field goal.
Right? That's the fleet.
As time expired. Bryce Harper back in the Phillies lineup yesterday. 0-for-3 with a walk as the DH in a 7-3 loss to the Yankees. Harper was hit by a pitch on his right ankle Friday, took Saturday off. And Rory McIlroy, one-shot win over Jim Furyk. at the Players' Championship.
Moose, and Taz, the Islanders right. won again.
Yes.
Yeah, that happened too.
They did, right. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Henry down in Philadelphia. Issue with 76ers forward Mike Scott sipping a beer in the crowd yesterday. No, went into the crowd to try and save a basketball. Landed in between two seats. There was an older woman there sipping on a beer. Grabbed the beer, took a sip. She got a kick out of it, and he went on to go play some basketball. I had no issue with that. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was great.
It was hysterical, man. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was very funny. You laid out the play-by-play perfect.
Yeah.
So there's not much I can say to that. You're right. That's exactly what happened.
I thought it was great. Then he went back and played basketball. I thought it was great.
Basketball! That was great, dude.
Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Keep your car clean is a simple and expensive form of maintenance. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the cleaning and detailing products you need, including washes, waxes, polishes, leather, and vinyl care. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, Clean Car Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The NCAA field of 68 is set.
It is. Number one overall seed is Duke. They're in the East. Your other three number one seeds are Gonzaga, Virginia, and North Carolina. So three number one seeds coming from the same conference, Taz. That is the ACC. When you look at it overall, the strongest region, it's interesting.
Good question.
I would probably think that looking at the brackets as I did last night and this morning, I would probably think that Duke's region, because of Duke and the strength of Michigan State, now with LSU and their coaching, I'd probably say the East is probably the strongest region. But I think it's close.
Yeah, it is close. That's why I think they did a pretty good job. I kind of lean a little towards the West because of Florida State, Florida, Gonzaga, obviously.
Michigan.
I was just going to say Michigan. Yeah, for sure. And I like this Buffalo team. I understand. And they're a 6 seed.
Yeah,
but
they're a good team.
They're a good team. They're gritty. Nevada's another one of those teams that it's going to get we'll see if they can get out. I think they're going to end up playing Michigan after Nevada plays Florida. I think Nevada wins. I'm not getting to the whole thing here. And then they'll end up playing Michigan. I think then they'll end there. But Nevada's pretty gritty also. But yeah, I would lean towards the West.
Yeah, it's and this field is certainly, people are going to look toward the heavy hitters, as we've discussed. 8 to 10 teams could probably win the national championship and cut down the net significantly higher about making a run to the Final Four. Talking about winning 6 games here. You know, St. John's was probably, I would say, right there as being the last team that was in the tournament. Yeah. You know, UNC Greensboro, after winning 28 games in the regular season, outside looking in. I think the selection committee did a good job. I don't think there's anybody screaming last night or this morning about someone, you know, kind of getting screwed over here, Taz. I don't see it. It was a soft bubble, wasn't a strong one, so there was a lot of debate raging on. It's an interesting one. They've got to not only find the right teams, correct amount of teams from each conference to get in and put the right ones in, but also it's about matchups. We'll see how exciting this tournament is, because now the goal is you let the basketball, after putting the field together, Taz, you want the great games and the basketball to lead the way.
I think for the most part they nailed it. I do. And we were talking about this earlier. I mean, besides the deal, as you pointed out perfectly earlier about Duke and Michigan State in the East, you know, I think that's tough going to Michigan State because they're a 2 seed, where some could say they should have been a 1. Then they get, like, I'm not stealing your thunder here, but that's what you said.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, it's a great observation. But anyway, yeah, I think for the most part, I think the committee got it right. I'm looking forward to the tournament for sure.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. Gets going Tuesday and Wednesday night with the playing games in Dayton. And then it gets going in full-blown brilliance on Thursday. Let's get to it. Number two.
Number two.
LeBron James and Lakers find new low.
Yeah, that is. LeBron and the Lakers lose at Madison Square Garden to the Knicks. Yeah. Now got 14 wins on the season. I mean, that is a brutal loss for LeBron.
Sitting on the bench.
Yeah, right. And LeBron late getting blocked by Mario Hezonja. A first-round bust with the Orlando Magic.
Shut down by
Mario.
Right,
that's exactly right. Yeah. And here is the criticism of LeBron by Hall of Famer and Knicks legend Clyde Frazier. Take a listen.
How about LeBron sneakers, Clyde? Yep, fit for a king. The laces and everything, but this type of behavior is not. When you're the face of the NBA, I think you should be more a part of your team, folks. No matter what is going on the public, you've got to be a part of the team. Maybe in the locker room, you're not, but you have to exude that type of togetherness in public, folks. And right now, we see he doesn't really care.
Yeah, for those that just joining us, that is not Clyde Frazier at a U2 concert. No, he's at Madison Square Garden. But anyway, he perfectly ripped LeBron James, and rightfully so, for LeBron James not sitting with his team and sitting several seats away. Just bad look for LeBron. Just the team is on a timeout. They're talking. They're regrouping. Yeah, the Lakers suck. Okay, yeah, the Knicks suck. I understand that. It's still an NBA game.
Bad leadership.
It's bad. You're at Madison Square Garden. It don't matter if you were at someone's backyard in a pro game. Get in the game, LeBron. Get in the game.
I'm the best player in the world.
Get in the game.
Anyway,
seriously.
I mean, it is.
It's starting to get aggravated now.
Right. It is. The Lakers season has been napalmed. I mean, that is what it comes down to. Number one is Walt's probably going to be fired after the season, right? LeBron has got no connection to the young players, and they've got to find veteran pieces to put in play almost immediately to get the, as the clock is ticking on LeBron James in his 30s now, Taz. They've got to find veteran players to bring in of impact.
Right.
That's going to get them to a championship level in almost immediately. That's a difficult job. I mean, you look at what the Lakers are right now, where LeBron is right now. Terrible look for LeBron. And Taz, he has taken a little bit of a PR hit here, and rightfully so.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It shouldn't stop. He deserves it. You know, he deserves it. And I just, you know, we talked a lot about this earlier. So download the podcast, guys, if you want it, radio.com or Apple Podcasts, to hear the whole conversation that Moose and I had here about. And we had a lot of great callers that called in, too. So we appreciate that, too. Check out the podcast. You'll hear the whole thing.
Number three.
Ryan Fitzpatrick signs with the Dolphins.
Right, three of four AFC East teams Fitzpatrick is going to be linked up to now. Was a former Bill and Jet, now is a Miami Dolphin. He's going to be a starter. 2 years, $11 million. With incentives, Taz can earn anywhere from $17 to $20 million. So Fitz has got a job.
Yeah,
Bridgewater didn't want it. Fitzpatrick said, you know what, I'll be a star.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what he can do.
Kick the tires down there in South Beach.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised the way this whole thing, you know, with a new head coach there in Flores, who's a great defensive mind, that was with Belichick with the New England Patriots. I don't know. I just, we got to see what happens here. I mean, because they get the 13th pick in the 2019 draft here coming up, the NFL draft. And they're not going to get Kyler Murray. They're not going to get Dwayne Haskins, even if they move themselves up. I mean, they're not. I don't know. I don't see that happening. I don't know what they're going to do here. They just got to hope that Fitzpatrick can get something going for them, for this team. I'm just surprised. I don't know why. I'm just surprised for Flores. This whole move was surprising. But, you know, we've seen a lot of glimpses of Fitz magic, and we'll see if that can happen again. We had several games in a row last year for the Bucks. You know, that he threw the 400 yards.
And then he imploded.
You know, and then it was just ended after like four games.
And then you were like,
Fitzmagic.
Yes, that's the Fitzpatrick I know.
I came out, I ripped Micah Fitzpatrick, Mike, the defensive back.
Minka
Fitzpatrick. That's what I said, right?
You said Micah.
Micah, Minka.
Right.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Right, Taz, Tiz.
Yeah, Tiz.
Right.
Spaz.
Tiz and the Moose.
Yeah,
right.
Tiz and the Moose. Tiz and the Miazu.
March 17th, 2016. Yes, it was St. Patrick's Day, as it was yesterday. Hopefully everyone enjoyed it. But on that day, Taz, March 17th, 2016, Yale beat Baylor in a big NCAA tournament upset. Can Yale do it again this go-around? We'll get the thoughts of their head coach, James Jones, as he will join us next. It's a Monday morning. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lot is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. They're coming out of the Ivy, and that is Yale, as they get set to take on LSU in their opener in the NCAA tournament in that East region. And let's welcome aboard their
their men's basketball coach, and that is James Jones, who joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz of the Moose with you. Congratulations on what has been a great season. We look forward to watching in the tournament, and thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Coach?
Hey, Taz, Moose, how you guys doing? Good morning to you.
Good, Coach. I want to let you know, me, Taz, I got you guys taking out LSU. I'm just letting you know that right now. You guys are my guy, and I mean that, seriously.
Well, listen, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I like it when we're the underdog completely and everybody thinks we're going to lose, but there's no sneaking up on anybody these days.
That's
you
right.
know, for those across the country, you know, Coach, have not been locked into Yale all season long. Give us a little feel about your team, how this team came together for you.
Well, we're extremely well-rounded. We're a very talented group. I have seven guys that could be starters. You can only start five, but we have seven of them. And they do a really good job for us from top to bottom. We're really balanced scoring-wise. We're led by Mie Ioane, who's a pro prospect, and he's on the draft board right now. And Alex Copeland, who's our second leading scorer, has been terrific for us down the stretch. Jordan Bruner is a big who does a little bit of everything, rebounds. He was leading the league in rebounding and assists from the five spot at a point this year. So really well balanced. And we have three principals on our team. We like to rebound, share the ball, and defend. And we feel we do those three things well, we can win any game.
Hey, Coach, talk about the energy and play of your team during yesterday's great run yesterday. Talk about that, please.
Well, it was tremendous. Like I said, Mie Ioane, our best player, right, leading scorer, he ended up getting the foul trouble. So he was out of the game at probably the 14-minute mark, 15-minute mark of the second half, and we got down by seven. And, in his absence, we had a bunch of guys step up, mainly Alex Copeland just went on a personal run for himself. I think he scored like 15 straight points or something to that effect and really overcame the deficit and got the lead, and we were able to put it away.
You know, Coach, if you go back, because, we were discussing and talking a little bit about Yale earlier on the program, you go back a couple years ago and you were beating Baylor in the NCAA tournament. The message you're going to have for your team, we know matchups make games and also can you want your team to play well. What's the message you're going to deliver to your team before they get set to take out LSU?
Well, you know what's crazy is that, we just won the game yesterday. And I'm just digesting that victory and then starting to get into LSU. But the main message that we want to send is just be who we are. We don't need to change what we do because of the opponent. I like the fact that we're playing someone. It's hard to play in conference. Everybody knows you so well. These guys are friends off the court. A lot of them, tweet at each other and stuff. So they know each other so well. They understand what we're trying to do on both ends of the floor. So sometimes it's hard to get looks and to be really good offensively. But when you're playing a new team, they don't know what to expect fully. So we just want to make sure we stay within who we are and try to beat them with what we've been doing all year.
You know, when you look at LSU, and certainly, they've got a distraction deal with their head coach. We'll get into that with you, Coach. But when you look at their personnel, the one thing that impresses you about LSU is how long they are. How do you deal with the length of LSU?
Well, again, it's one of those things. We feel like we have some length ourselves. Obviously,
sure,
we don't start 6'10", 6'11", so we don't have that kind of length. But we have some length ourselves. And, we have to make sure we block those guys out and keep them off the glass. They're a really good rebounding team, and I think they're one of the best offensive rebound teams in the country. So we got to make sure we get some bodies on bodies and try to diffuse some of their length with some physicality and able to, not give them second chances.
Coach, let's talk about your team. Like, I know you broke down the players, by name. You obviously did a great job. These are your guys, right? But, it's so impressive for a squad coming out of the Ivy League. Obviously, from an academic standpoint, Yale University is, I think they're ranked number two or number three school in the world. So, coming out of a school like that, for athletes to be student athletes and how much, from what I understand, but most high academic schools, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no academic help for your athletes, correct?
No, the athletes are seen just like every other student on
campus. Right. So my point is, that right there is so difficult, as you know. I don't think a lot of people listening to our program right now understand how their responsibility, these kids on that Yale Bulldog basketball team and any other Yale athlete or any other Ivy League athlete or maybe even a Patriot League athlete for that matter, how difficult it is to play at this level, now being the tournament. I mean, talk on that if you don't mind, the responsibility these kids that they have besides basketball.
Well, the great thing about our kids is that they're well equipped for the work. You know, to get into Yale, certainly there's some help as being a student athlete, but you have to be a really good student. So being a really good student, you have great study habits, you understand what to do, and a bigger part of it is that you want to be successful in the classroom, and that's a big part of who you are and what you've grown to do with your life. So our guys understand that. They come with that basis, so it makes it a little easier for them to do the work. That being said, you know, the last weekend of the year, we had some midterms going on, and, you know, we're playing Penn and Princeton on the road, and my guys are trying to get papers in by 5 o'clock before we play at 7.
Yeah, it's tough.
So, you know, it's one of those things that is just the nature of the beast. We understand who it is, but as I said, my guys are well-equipped to do the work. We don't miss very many classes here. Our schedule's such that in our league, we play Friday, Saturday night, and there aren't very many classes given on a Friday. So if we leave Thursday night after classes and after practice, well, Friday, no, they're not missing any classes because they don't have any. Then you play on Saturday, you're back on campus on Sunday. So you don't miss the schoolwork that's really important. But, you know, our guys are committed, and they're committed to both. And we like to believe here that we're doing the best, that we have the best of both worlds in athletic and academics.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, one thing. Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, for people listening. Unlike most other Division I teams that are in this tournament, you know, coming out of whatever conference, they'll have academic help in travels. They'll have someone who helps, not a guidance, but something like that, like a guidance counselor or someone from academics to help the players in the hotel, on the bus, whatever. Your guys are on their own. That's tough, man. That's tough.
Well, as I said, our guys are well-equipped to do the work.
They're well-equipped. So. No, I know, but I just wanted people to know the difference between what you guys are doing. That's my point.
Well, I can give you a litany list of some of the differences between us and some of the other that we have.
I got you, man. I got you.
That's just a few. That's just a few
couple. Right.
But yeah, you're right. There are some differences there. Our guys are on their own.
They are.
And they do a great job with it, and I'm proud of every kid on my team. Has above a 3.0 except for two. One kid's a 2.84 and another kid's a 2.75.
So our
kids are doing really good academically. I'm proud of what they do off the court and on the court.
You know, I really still think it rings true when you look at the NCAA tournament. Guard play kind of leads the way, right? And we could all focus on the big men and length and certainly but you have guards that can dictate the style and tempo of the game. Talk a little bit about Oney, who you mentioned earlier on, and certainly he's got a pro career looking at ahead of him as well here, Coach. But what about what your two guards, and Oney and what Copeland could do for you in any single game?
Well, you know, certainly, you know, the game has changed so much from where it used to be. You know, Steph Curry's of the world, the Trae Young's of the world has changed the game of college basketball completely in terms of how it's played and where you shoot from, the metrics of shooting a three and how important it is. But, you know, one of the great things about our team, in addition to have Alex Copeland and Mie Ioane, who are great and who really push the ball in transition, and, you know, we are one of the, best scoring teams in the country. We average about 82 points a game. And one of the reasons why we're able to do that, in addition to those two guards, we have Jordan Bruner, who's 6'10" with a 7'3" wingspan. He gets the ball off the rim and he pushes it in transition. So again, having that guard play and having multiple guys that can get the ball off the rim and push it and dictate what you're trying to do offensively has been really good for us, and we hope to continue that going over the next few days.
Hey, Coach, congrats on the Ivy title. A great victory. Enjoy that, and good luck preparing for LSU. We'll be rooting for you in the tournament, all right?
Great job, Coach. Much appreciated. You're the first prognosticator that came out and told me that you think Yale's going to win, so I'm going to hold you to that.
Hey, Coach, don't worry. I am Taz, and you can hold me to it.
Good luck.
Go get it,
hey,
man.
Hey, Coach, appreciate it, buddy.
Take care.
Taz, Moose, thank you very much.
You got it, bud. Take care, coach.
They are a fun team to watch, and we'll see what they do against LSU.
I hope they win
in the opening round. Yeah, of course. Why not?
What? No, because that's me. That's what I do. When I go into the tournament here, I'll make predictions that are not the typical. I'm not easy peasy. You know, I go for the difficult ones.
Right.
They're going to take out the Tigers.
You finished in last year.
Okay, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, right
exactly.
Buddy?
No, but I hope they win.
Yeah, I hear you.
Get ready with that.
When are we going to do that? We got to give out things tomorrow? No, Thursday we're going to put it in, right?
We discussed this. All right. Thursday. Folks, have yourself a wonderful Monday.
Right.
Well, until tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Bye-bye. There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.